If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. So would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? And we've been reading out of, I think we're like 3 straight weeks now, reading out of Ephesians chapter 4. It's a letter to the church in Ephesus. It was a debaucherous church, debaucherous city, not church, but city. And some of the craziest stuff. Like sometimes we think like, whoa, like the world these days is so crazy. Take whatever craziness you think we're going through as a world right now, multiply that by like to the power of 3. That was Ephesus, okay? And there was a church there, a younger church, and we're going to pick up there in Ephesians chapter 4. We've been talking about spiritual maturity, okay? So if you have the Bibles, if you have your Bible and you're at Ephesians 4, say, got it. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to put it on the big screen right there. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, okay? It says, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of new teaching, by the cunning and the craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow, someone say grow, to become in every respect the mature body. Someone say mature. Of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know what I love about that? Is that when each one of us does the work that we're called to do, we will grow in love. That's kind of crazy. That's like the more that we do the work that we're called to do in the body of Christ, the more love grows. Woo! That one's for free. Okay. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. We got some Bible today, y'all. We're like only halfway through this text. Is that okay? How many people love the Word of God? All right, we got some friends. That, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor. Stop lying to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing, raise your hand if you've been stealing. No, I'm just kidding. Must not steal no longer. You must work, doing something useful with your hands that you might have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Oof, I love that. You got to know me. You got to know this church. We are a Spirit-filled church. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen? All right, now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I pray, Lord, that we would be transformed by the preaching of your word. I don't know why, but this is kind of your vehicle that you chose. You say we would gather around your word, around the gospel, that by the preaching of the word, our hearts and our minds might be illuminated, God, and be, Lord, shaped and molded and transformed to be more like the mind of Christ. And so I pray, Lord, that we would walk out of here a little or even a lot more different than how we walked in. I pray that if there's anybody who's far from you, that by the end of our time together, they'd be drawn closer to you, our good, our powerful, and our loving Savior. It's in your mighty name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, give somebody a high five and grab your seat. Amen. Come on. We're in the series called Grow and Go. Grow and Go. And this is part three of that series. We're talking about spiritual maturity, right? And we're talking about all the things that are markers of spiritual maturity. It's talking about, it has to do a lot with growth, and then we'll get eventually to a place where we as a body, as a community, we're really going to be talking about growing, not just to grow, but growing to go. Amen. Who was blessed by the word last week? Anybody was blessed by the word? Make some noise. Yeah. I got a lot of feedback that you guys really loved when I spent a lot of time talking about, here's what spiritual immaturity looks like. Remember that? You guys were like really bummed about it, right? So I'm going to start my message the exact same way, okay? We're going to just, let me bum you out as hard as I can. We're going to start out. Spiritual maturity, immaturity, right? There's three things that Paul talks about on the front end that are really markers for spiritual immaturity. Number one, futile thinking. He says in verse 17, he says, no longer should you live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your thinking. This word futile means useless. It means depraved, that your thinking is almost just like worthless. It's just, it's defeated. It's not the right thinking, right? You know you're spiritually immature when your thinking is jacked up. Don't worry, we'll get to it. The second thing he says about like a marker of spiritual immaturity is that you have a hardened heart. Right? In verse 19, he says, ignorance is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity. Have you ever lost sensitivity before in a part of your body? Never good, right? Not good to lose sensitivity. That's not something you want happening. We know that. You get all weird tingles, and it's like dead hand. Have you ever felt that? Like you sit on your hand, yeah, you're like, ah! God is saying that your heart, God doesn't want your heart hardened. And you know you're spiritually mature, man, when you've allowed your heart to get hardened. Stuff that used to convict you, because conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, doesn't convict you anymore. And you come into God's house and you've lost your sensitivity for the presence of God. I know when I have been retreating from the presence of God, when I come into his house and it's just kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know. It's just kind of like, okay, I'm in worship, whatever. Like, let's get this service going. I know, right, when I've activated, renewed my mind, and I've stepped in, you know you're growing in spiritual maturity when you know what it is to be like, hey, despite my challenge, despite my heaviness, despite my problems, despite what it looks like in the natural, God, I'm going to focus on you, I'm going to lean on you, and I am going to worship you. And I get to that point where I'm like, man, doesn't matter what's happening externally, a spiritually mature person knows how to put God first. Amen? Third marker of spiritual immaturity that Paul talks about is self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. He says they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Okay, so these are some of the markers that Paul talks about when it comes to spiritual immaturity. Let's talk about what he says in contrast. And he's basically laying out that this instead is what spiritual maturity ought to look like. How many people want to grow in spiritual maturity? All right, the rest of this sermon is for you, okay? The first thing, he said, spiritual maturity, I would say, put it like this, putting off the old and putting on the new. Putting off the old and putting on the new. Okay, verse 22, he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I don't know if you know this, but when you come to a decision of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are made new. Bible says that you are born again, and you're actually a new creation. The problem is you look the same on the outside. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry, you're pretty. Go ahead. So you're made new. You're a new creation in God's eyes. You're brand new. The problem is that everybody else still sees the old you. And that's why we're charged to put off our old self. Amen. I still get embarrassed when I look at old photos of my old fits. Amen. Right? Like we have social media happening today. Like Manny, he's going to be so mad that he looked like DMX today. In like 5 years, you're like, gosh, I can't believe I wore that tight sweater with that thick Mr. T gold chain. Praise the Lord. But like we all know. We all know what it is to like be embarrassed by like our old selves, amen. But I pray that they're in a good way. We ought not to be more embarrassed by how we used to just look with our fit and our style. We should have this sense of just, man, I can't believe I used to think that way. I can't believe I used to say that. I can't believe I used to believe that. Man, I can't believe I used to be so defeated. I can't believe I used to just be like, man, so like, man, weak in God. I can't believe I used to not know any of the scriptures. I can't believe I used to think the church was just this. No. Like, I believe that you need to put off your old self, your old thinking, your old toxicity. And the more that we connect with our new image in God, the more we should want to put off our old self. How many of you guys grew up in a household where you walked in, you had to take your shoes off? Anybody like that? Yeah, a lot. Yes. Okay, put your hands down. I just want to see the numbers. How many people you kept your shoes on in your house when you walked in? Put all those people. Okay, not invite none of y'all over. So I grew up like that, and so even for us in our home, I try to tell my kids, like, take off your shoes, and for me, and these days more my wife, it's not just the shoes, it's like the clothes. They play outside, and they'll get in the mulch, and they'll be covered in mulch, and they'll try to jump on the couch, and I don't, I'm like, no, you gotta change. You gotta change clothes. You gotta get out of that, because I don't want you bringing all that dirt into the house, especially on the couch, praise the Lord. And I say, take your shoes off. And I would put it like this. I would tell them, what you were wearing was perfectly suitable for where you came from, but you are in the house now. And I say this for someone who maybe needs to hear it like this plainly. Your old self was perfectly suitable for where you came from, but you're a child in God's house now. Now, when you get saved, Jesus takes away your sins, and he gives you a clean slate. But how often do you feel like you're still wearing the old clothes of your old self? Like, God will clean you and make you new spiritually, and he does that. But spiritual maturity is understanding that the responsibility lies with us to continually take off the old self, to take off the old thinking, to take off the old traps, to take off the old sin, to put ourselves in compromising situations, to fall into the victimhood of the old temptations. Amen. You gotta know what it is to take off those old clothes. Turn to your neighbor and just say, why are you still wearing that? Go ahead. I just saw someone say, that's all I had clean today. You got to put off the old, but not just put off the old. So not just like taking off your old self, but actually Paul's encouraging, not just put off, but put on. Put on the new self. He says in verse 24, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God has in mind for you to put on your new clothes, your new self, your new identity in Christ. Amen. How many people have discovered that there is power in a change of clothes? You know what I'm talking about. Like, when I make a little Saturday morning Food Lion grocery run in my baggy sweatpants and, like, you know, a lounge shirt and, like, some slides, man, I get no respect. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I've had to, like, be at Starbucks, like, before a wedding to kill some time, and I've been, like, dressed, like, full suit, tie. Y'all, I have been at Starbucks, and it turned into a full-service restaurant on me. Like, I've had people be like, oh, can I get you anything? Like, they've, like, brought me, like, napkins and, like, cutlery for, like, a bagel. I'm like, when did Starbucks become full service? Like, there's power in a change of clothes. But the thing about putting on your new self is that it takes courage to put on your new self. And it's not easy. I actually think sometimes it might be easier to take off your old self than it is to have the courage to put on your new self in Christ. I like clothes. You into fashion? You like clothes? Okay, like, have you ever bought an article of clothing that you were like, okay, it's a little outside of my comfort zone, but you're like, I'm going to buy it, and you know what? I'm going to have to be brave. You ever felt that way? You know what I'm talking about? And then you be in your house, and you're like, all right, today's the day, and you put it on, and you're like, I just don't have enough confidence today to rock this. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I think that that's, like, true in the natural, probably true in the spirit. And God is calling for us as the people of God to put on Christ, like to put on our Christly identity, to put on our new self made alive in Christ. And I want to just bring you a level of reassurance. It's not always easy. I'm not even immune to it. You would think, oh gosh, like Pastor Keno, he's probably super easy to be a man of God in every setting. That's not true. Like, it's easy for me to just be like the pastor, like on Sunday, but I have to go out into the world just like every single one of you, right? I have to be able to say, you know, have those conversations like, who are you? What do you do? And for me, guess what? I don't get to hide that I'm a man of God. What do you do? I'm in tech. Yeah, Bible on the screen. But you know you are embracing your new image when you start to care less and less about your image or your rep suffering for the cause of Christ. It takes courage to put on your new self. And listen, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is being scared and still doing it anyway. And for us this year, for growing, but we're going to go. And for all of our CGs that meet weekly out in the world, we are deliberately meeting in the public space this year. Why? Because I am calling the church to be a witness in the city. And I know it's a little different for those of you who are in CG this semester, because like it's super easy behind the four walls of someone's house and praying and breaking bread and be like, oh, this is what God said to me. Oh, the Lord is so good. It's a whole nother thing when you're hanging out at Kava or you hanging out at the Arch Museum, gathered with your people, and you're talking about God's word, and you're talking about God's goodness, and you're talking about what you're praying for, and you're talking about this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Like, that is courageous, and I commend you for it. But we got to walk in this year. I believe that God is calling us to have courage to step out with our new self, with our family and with our friends, in our home, in our workplaces, in our schools. And I know even for so many of us, some of the hardest people to put on our new self with are the people that are closest to us. But you're called to. And God has equipped you with a new outfit in the faith. So put on your new self. Amen. I hope you understand, this is not about just looking the part. Okay? It's not about showing off how good you are or how many Christianese things you can say. But it's about God being concerned with you growing in spiritual maturity with the condition of your heart and of your mind. Amen. Amen. For me, I've said this before, but someone told me this when I was a newer Christian, especially around the season where I was to be wed, to get married. And my pastor told me, he said, I got a super random practical tip for you. I said, give it to me. He said, hey, whenever you get home from work, get out of your work clothes and put on some house slippers, put on some PJ, put on some sweatpants. What is that? Because you're actually taking your worries and your mentality from your day off of you, and you get to be just present as a husband in your home. True in the natural, true in the spirit, okay? It affects our mindset. So what is the root of what Paul is talking about? What's in verse 22? It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. All right, you know you're growing in spiritual maturity when you know how to make new the attitude of your minds. When you know how to make new the attitude of your minds. Can I get an amen? I like that. The attitude of your minds. It's not just your thoughts. The attitude of your mind. It's making you this whole complete way that we think. Have you ever like mentally mocked yourself? Have you ever had that internal monologue that kind of like talks down to yourself? That's just like, you know, you just do, you're in a social setting and you say something and your mind is just like, why did you say that? That was so stupid. You thought you were funny? Did you see anybody laughing? I know, dude, it's messed up up here, man. I'm trying to grow in spiritual maturity. But who's ever done that? Just had bad internal monologue, right? And so I love what Paul says. He says, we have to make new the attitude of our minds. That actually sometimes we could even say the right things, but we have the wrong attitude in our mind. I love this phrase. Ready? We got to get better at speaking to ourselves rather than just listening to ourselves. We got to get better at speaking to ourselves rather than just listening to ourselves. Because guess what? Your mind, just like your heart, just like your flesh, it is something that needs to be redeemed. Amen? And so actually, like, unchecked, man's bias is downward. And if you never speak to your mind will run rampant with bad attitude. And so actually for us as a Christian, you know you're growing in spiritual maturity when you're not just listening to your thoughts, you're speaking to your thoughts. And you say, no, I'm not going to think that. You know what? Frankly, I'm funny. I didn't. You know what? I didn't see anybody laugh. But that was a really deep joke. They're going to get it later. They're going to bust out laughing. And we'll hear ourselves say stuff, right? And maybe for you, you've heard your mind say, you going to church, it's not going to stick. It's not going to make a difference. You think it's going to change your life? You're going to go CG? What? You think these people, like, want to be your friend? Maybe this is just a phase. Like, okay, you're just in a phase right now. Maybe, you know, oh, gosh, you like, this relationship, you think it's going anywhere? You think you're going to be happy? And we could just listen to our mind run rampant. But God is saying, hey, you need to make new the attitude of your mind. Amen? You need to put off your old self. Don't just listen to your mind. Sometimes you got to speak to your mind. You say, hey, mind, why don't you mind your own business? Amen? Like, you got to start speaking to yourself. I'm not going to think defeated. I'm not going to live as a victim. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to quit on the church. I'm not going to quit walking in my new self. Amen? Making you the attitude of your mind. That's a spiritually mature thing. Next thing Paul talks about is, this will help you. You know you're growing in spiritual maturity when you're not sinning just because you're angry. When you're not sinning just because you're angry. Come on, raise your hand if you got anger problems. Wei is the only person that lifted her hand. Chanel, I'm just going to call your names out. Brandon. These two ladies right here near the front, anger problems. Praise the Lord. Verse 26, Paul is saying this, in your anger, do not sin. So guess what? Anger doesn't say we can't be angry. So you're off the hook, people. It just says, in your anger, don't sin. So anger is not a sin. But he got angry. Not a sin. Guess what? I don't know if you've read your Bible. God gets angry. We serve a God who gets angry sometimes. And guess what? God doesn't sin. You hear me? So Paul is saying, you know you're growing in spiritual maturity that even when you get angry, it does not cause you to sin. I'm not an angry driver. How many angry drivers do we got? Whoa! I was like, how many of y'all have an anger problem? How many of y'all angry drivers? Oh, yeah, that's me. I am an angry driver. Like, different people have different anger triggers. I'm not an angry driver. My wife makes fun of me because I drive, like, slow, actually. But one time, oh, y'all hate me now. Oh, you the one. Okay. I've never been an angry driver, but one time, like my wife and I were having an argument in the anger box. You know what that is? The car. Yeah, you're going 70 miles an hour on the highway and you have nowhere to escape. This is call it the anger box. And I remember one time, I wasn't on the highway, we were like flying through the neighborhood and somebody cut me off and I was so mad. I'm not an angry person, but they cut me off and I slammed on that thing, went up ahead, pulled up next to him, and I just stared at him like hard. He looked at me, I just stared at him. And then he looked at my car, he started laughing and drove off. I forgot I drive a Prius, man. Like, I won't intimidate nobody. Like, what you gonna do with your good gas mileage? So you probably heard that there is catharsis in letting out anger. Have you heard this before? That there's catharsis in letting out anger. Some say it's like a purification or the purging of anger, that you get mad, you get upset, and for a while some people be like, go find a punching bag or find a wall and punch it, it'll feel good. And have you ever heard that prescription? The problem is that neuroscience for decades have proven that that's the worst thing you could do. It's a very, 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 very bad thing to do. It actually only trains your mind that when I get angry, I need to be physical. Don't do it. Continually blowing off steam by anger only increases the uptick time of how angry you can get. Catharsis, when angry, is more like scratching a rash. It doesn't leave you better. It just makes you bloody. Something that the Bible was century ahead of when in James 1:19 says, be slow to speak and be slow to anger. Paul says in verse 26, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Come on, if you've married, you heard this, hopefully, that like, try not to go to sleep angry. For us, I'm giving you free marriage advice, even if you're single, this will help you. That, like, we try not to let the sun go down on our anger. We try not to go to bed angry. Because going to bed angry is like the calcification of plaque on your teeth. Right? It's just, you leave that thing overnight, it gets hardened like your heart. Right? You need to be able to, like, get things while it's still kind of pliable. Now, we don't always accomplish this, but we do our best, even when it gets late, to be able to say, honey, babe, she'll say it. Sometimes I'll say it. Like, we need to settle this, but we also need to sleep tonight. Can we pick this up tomorrow at a set amount of time? Amen. Sometimes, straight up, sometimes you just need to sleep on your problems. The Bible talks about that, right? Like, I think it was Elijah that was it Elijah? Yeah, with the prophets of Baal. And after he had this big victory in God, he was depressed, and Jezebel was going after him, and he's like, man, he went and had a nap and had a little bit of cake, and I think he woke up and he was feeling much better. Sometimes you just need to sleep problems away. Now, if your problem is insomnia, we'll pray for you. Spiritual maturity is that even when you're angry, it doesn't cause you to sin. Now, my kids are not here, so let me throw one of them completely under the bus. I won't name who, but one of my daughters, this yesterday, like, she had jelly on one of the grates in our kitchen. Do you have grates on your oven? And y'all got the flat tiles? Okay, my bad. So I said, hey, would you clean that up? And she was trying to clean it, and then she couldn't, like, get it all off. It was between the grates. And she's like, how do I do this? And, you know, I try to be, like, an empowering dad. I say, well, I'd like for you to figure it out. Would you figure it out? And then she's like, no, I can't do it. And I was like, why don't you try that? She's, Dad, you're not hearing me. Dad, you're not listening to me. I don't know how to do this. I says, babe, but I want you to figure it out. She said, Dad, you're not hearing me. I don't know how to clean this dang grate. Only problem is she didn't say dang great. Yeah. And I said, hold up. And I got angry. I got angry. I felt my anger welling up. But the Holy Spirit was like, don't you dare sin right now. And man, I tell you what, can I just be honest? Ooh, I wanted to give that girl a spanking. And not that there's anything wrong with that, to be clear. But I said, get to your room right now. Because I was afraid of how angry I was getting. Send her to her room. Spiritual maturity is not letting anger get the best of you. Amen? Which, on that point, leads me to the next thing Paul talks about. Spiritual maturity is when your words become more wholesome. Someone just started drinking out of a sippy cup? What the heck? Oh, that was for real? Oh, wow, that's so cute. I'm talking about being wholesome right now, kid. Okay, wholesome. All right, what does he say? Verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to the needs that it may benefit those who listen." I know I didn't get no amens on this, because y'all like to curse, don't you? You do. The honest people are in the back. They're like, "I do love to curse." All the front people will be like, "What's the right answer?" You know? Listen, this ain't even really about what the word my daughter used. Dang it. It's not about that. If you ever doubt if something you're about to say is wholesome or unwholesome, you need to just ask yourself, it's laid out in the passage. Whatever you say, is it who's being built up and who is benefiting? Because he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You just need to say, this isn't about like putting a guard on your speech about wanting to say some like fun four-letter words. I don't think that that's what spiritual maturity is. But it's about when you ever doubt, is what I'm about to say wholesome or unwholesome? You say, who's being built up by what I'm about to say? Who is benefiting from what I'm about to say right now? And if it's all about just you and your catharsis of your lips, yeah, perhaps it's not wholesome. Don't be reckless with your words. Proverbs 12:18, I like this. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Way too many people use the guise of "I'm just telling it like it is" to say whatever they want. Be somebody. You know you're spiritually mature when you're becoming somebody whose words are bringing healing into those around you, whose words are bringing life, whose words are an encouragement, amen, and who's discovering, spiritually mature, discovering what it is to put a rein on your tongue, on your mouth, to bridle your tongue, as James says, when you are angry, amen? Okay, next thing. Oh, my gosh, I got 1.5 points. We're flying through. Oh, we're good on time. Okay. Next thing he says, spiritual maturity, when you don't ignore the little things. Verse 27, he says, do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? We are not super postmodern Christian church that doesn't talk about the devil. Nah. We don't like to talk about too much because he don't deserve no credit. But there is a devil. There is an adversary. There is an evil one. There is one who is out to, like, see that you're... Let me just read it. My goodness, where is that passage? I thought it was in here. It's John 10:10. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and life to the full, right? So it's not just about the fact that God is saying, hey, Jesus came so that you could have life and life to the full. It's also just as important to understand there is a devil. And what does he want to do? He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill the things in your life. He wants to destroy the things in your life, destroy your hope, destroy your happiness, destroy your health, destroy your family, destroy the call of God that is on you, destroy your purpose, all these things. But Jesus has come that you might have life. Amen. So don't ignore the little things. What does this phrase mean, to give the devil a foothold? Well, you need to be mindful of the little things, because every big problem that you have was once an unattended little detail. Every big problem that you have was once a little ignored detail. People don't leave church just out of the blue one day. It looks like, I missed a community group here, I skipped a Sunday there, and then all of a sudden what was just a little foothold, I'm skipping out, I'm doing my own thing, becomes full-blown MIA. People don't leave their marriage in a moment, right? It was, I thought that thing. I entertained that thought. And I didn't change the attitude of my mind. I kept thinking it. And then it was, I would never have that conversation. But then it's like, I had that conversation. And then it's, I'd never do that. And then it was like, it's not that big a deal. And it's time after time of wall after wall after wall of being broken down that now you see someone who's completely walked out on their spouse. It doesn't happen over one quarrel, right? But it happens after repeatedly allowing you in your anger to continue to sin, to continue to disrespect, to continue to fly off the handle, to not put on your new self. Do not give the devil a foothold. Proverbs 24:33 says this, a little extra sleep. This is speaking to me right now. A little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. I like how the Message paraphrase puts it, a nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this, you can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. Hey, listen, bro, the Bible does not pull punches, okay? And listen, treat yourself, great. How many treat yourself days can you have? It's true about poverty. It's true about our spirit and maturity. Spiritual maturity is to say, hey, I know in this area the devil has a foothold. Maybe for you, it is about your anger. Like, maybe for you, it is about your anger. Like, right now, you're like, well, I just get angry when, like, my friend says something. Cool. Could it be that you're allowing the devil to get a foothold? Like, maybe for you, it's not anger. It's just about your words. Like, maybe for you, it's just like, you don't even care what you say. You don't even care who hears it. You don't care the damage that you do with your words. You're just like, man, I'm just being me. I'm just saying what I want to say. You're giving the devil a foothold. Amen. And maturity is willing to face up to those areas where you know. You know what a foothold is? It's like you trying to close a door, but the devil got his foot there. And said, let's keep talking. Endeavor to face up and get that foothold out of your life. Amen? Amen. Worship's going to come on up. My last thing he says, but we're done. You know you're growing in spiritual maturity when you are able to forgive. I've been talking a lot about forgiveness in this series too, I've discovered. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another and forgiving each other just as God forgave you. That's a whole message in and of itself. I might make it a whole Sunday because Jesus has a lot to say about being a people of forgiveness. But if you receive the word today, can we give God some praise? Come on, praise the Lord.